The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
So we're in a session here at Blog Her, and we've gotten permission to podcast this on The Chris Perillo Show. Can you tell us about this session?
This session is about feminist hip-hop blogging, and basically that kind of sounds like a oxymoron, because it's like, how can you be about hip-hop and be a feminist? It's very hard when hip-hop is so misogynistic, and I'm here to say you can be a feminist and be about hip-hop, and that's what I'm here for.
That's awesome. And you are, and your blog is?
Okay, I'm Lynn D. Johnson, and my blog is lynndjohnson.com/diary. Which is called, my tag name for it is A Day in a Life.
And we have maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. And I would love to know, if we could, can we make this organic and go around the room and introduce everyone?
I would love that.
Okay, so let's go around the room and find out why you picked this very specific room to come in.
It just caught our attention. It seemed interesting. It didn't seem a lot like all the other ones.
And your name is, and if you wouldn't mind, your age?
I'm Julia Ransoff, and I'm 14.
Katie, I'm her sister, and we blog on Y-Pulse, and we came here because we also blog a lot about teen media, and this seems relevant, and also the feminist teen media that we see is also related to this.
And could you tell us your blog?
Oh, yeah, it's ypulse.com.
And I'm going to row two here.
Hi, I'm Sarah Allen. I'm working internet software. I write software. And I came here just because I was intrigued at the very different industry where you are a lone woman in a male field, which is also true in when you write software. So that's what interested me.
My name is Dana Boyd, and I write at Apophenia, and I'm interested in hip-hop culture in general, particularly the idea of remix culture, the idea of owning your own media and being able to play with it, and the opportunities that affords youth in particular to form an identity, and so I've been studying identity formation in hip-hop culture.
Yeah, baby. Owning your own audio.
Hi, my name is Justin Watt. I'm a web producer for O'Reilly Media up in Sebastopol, and I don't know, the thing you just mentioned about hip-hop being perceived or perhaps being misogynistic, and the fact that you espouse feminism, I think, is probably the most interesting aspect for me. So I just want to hear more about that.
Misogynistic, huge word. Tell me what that means again.
Anti-female.
Oh, okay.
Blog-wise, I blog at justinsomnia.org.
My name's Megan Terhune. I don't have a blog, and I'm a feminist, and I love hip-hop, and that's why I'm here.
I'm like, having a little bit of mic problems here.
Hi, I'm Lena Dawes, and I blog at www.lenad.com, where I have an online portfolio and my own blog journal. I am a big Lynn D. Johnson fan. I've been reading her blog for the last 2 years, so one of the reasons was to meet her in person, and also I am a hip-hop journalist, and I freelance for a number of online magazines and whatnot, so...
Hi, I'm Janine Armstrong, and I write Nina Turns 40, which is a personal blog. I came here at the last minute to this one. I was going to go to another session to the political blogging, but I saw Lynn in the feminist Birds of a Feather, and I'm just interested in feminism. I'm becoming more and more politicized on my own blog, and so I'm interested in finding out what people in the feminism world are doing on their blogs.
A few more here, and thank you so much, Lynn.
Hi, my name is Wag, and I have a blog called Zoe Tales, and I'm a huge fan of Lynn's as well, and she's one of the very few blogs I link to. I am also interested in the issues that she wants to talk about in terms of kind of reconciling the misogyny in hip-hop and being a feminist, and I wrote a post about it once, and it's far and away the most popular post I've ever posted.
My name's Rachel. My blog is summerspin.blogspot.com, and I love hip hop, and I'm obviously a girl. So, I mean, I just wanna listen to what you have to say. I'm really interested in it. So that's it.
I'm Dave Toole. I'm CEO of a company called Outthink, and we make media collaboration software. I'm a musician. I started this company because I believe that writing music's collaborative. And I write Motown R&B kind of music, so I'm interested in what people are looking at with remix and connecting in new forms of music. So.
And you have a blog?
Yeah, it's at outthink.com.
My name is Gina Haskett. My blog is outonthestoop.blogspot.com. I'm a little past the hip-hop age, so I don't know anything about this, so I'm going to learn.
Hi, my name is Karen Luke, and my blog is at spaces.msn.com/member/Karen, very long, unfortunately. And I'm here because I just found the topic really interesting, and as Sarah said, I think a lot of the topics that you might be discussing today are very similar to what the software industry is like, where there's very few women, and just trying to find a voice for women in the industry is just something I'm really interested in.
And I'm here, ponzarelli.com, because I just love hip-hop and R&B. You know, that's what I live on. So we're back to Lynn, and she's going to take the show here.
All right. I'm not going to fully take the show because I'm going to let you guys take the show as well. Because I'm sure you all have a lot of thoughts and ideas. But again, as I was saying before you started recording and before some of the other folks came into the room, I put up a website in 2001 after being laid off from a job at BlackPlanet.com where I was a technology reporter / editor. And I put up the website to, you know, get more jobs, to get more freelance writing going and whatnot. And I was also in grad school at the time, so it was helping me, you know, find people when I was doing certain research. And one thing I did know is I wanted to have a diary, a journal, thus a day in the life, as I call it, to talk about things I was doing, things I was interested in, you know, my politics, my points of view, whatever I was doing. It was just whatever I was doing, which I guess to some people ended up being hip-hop, right? And I guess how that came to be is I'm a New York City resident, born and raised, have lived there all my life. I grew up at a time when, you know, hip-hop was just starting out, before it was heard on the radio, before any of this. And so hip-hop became, you know, very much a part of the fabric of my life and of my existence. So I tend to say to people, because some people say to me, well, you're almost 40 now. What are you talking about this hip hop stuff? What's your problem? Like, like, basically, I have a hip hop sensibility that I can never separate myself from because it's my roots. Just like, you know, I was raised as a Baptist girl. I don't still go to the Baptist church, but there's a part of it that's still in me, you know? So this is the way it is about hip hop for me. And again, I love music. I love to write about music. So that's a lot of the writing I was doing. And then on the blog, talking about was this hip-hop music and hip-hop culture and hip-hop lyrics and hip-hop videos and, you know, but all kinds of music. Because I talked about electronica a lot of dance music. I talk about alternative every now and then. You know, but and a lot, I was going to a lot of events, and I would talk about these events. So, when I started the blog, again, as I had said earlier to some people, I didn't think about blogging. I didn't think about doing a blog. I was just writing what I was thinking, what I was feeling. I needed an outlet to write. I'm a writer. And as time went on, I say about 2002, 2003, because here I was starting in 2001. And in 2001, you know, like I said, I didn't know I was blogging, and I met someone called George Kelly. And a lot of people know George Kelly. And George Kelly told me I was blogging, you know? And George Kelly, who's at allaboutgeorge.com. And George helped me do some things with my blog and to get my blog, you know, better rated. We were just talking about that, right? and not just that, just got me interested in looking at the blogging culture, right? So here I still didn't have, like, a category for my blog. Like, I don't even break my posts into categories because it's about me. It's about my life. It's about my likes. It's about if I want to talk about, you know, some software today or some, I don't know, some food tomorrow, I'll do that, you know? But I have a hip-hop sensibility, and some people say I tend to use slang that sounds like hip-hop in my posts, whatever. So it all comes back to hip-hop in a way.
Can I ask what hip-hop sensibility means to you?
What does a hip-hop sensibility mean to me? Again, like I said, I grew up in the Bronx at the time that hip-hop was birthing, and I guess hip-hop sensibility to me, it's like hip-hop is, a lot of people today look at hip-hop just as what they see in videos and as music. And when I was growing up, hip-hop was like, if I wore my hat a certain way, that was hip-hop.
It was more cultural.
It was cultural. If I danced a certain way, it was hip-hop. If I, you know, I don't know, greeted someone a certain way, it was hip-hop.
You know? And can I ask who were the major influences for you?
For me? Well, since we're talking about feminist hip-hop, I would say that, you know, for a while, when hip-hop, before hip-hop was recorded, I loved everybody. Then when it got on record, the male braggadocio, I was not feeling. You know, it was too much, you know, men having sex with women all the time. It was, you know, how big their thing was and who they were sticking it in. And, you know, it was when it was first coming. I mean, you know, you had the LL Cool J's and, you know, Run DMC. It was just all tougher than leather, you know, and all of this. And it was just like, okay, whatever. And here came Queen Latifah, you know, and all hail the queen. You know what I mean? So if I could say anyone in the music, because, I mean, there were Roxanne Shantays and there were these other women, but if I could say anyone in the music of hip-hop, you know, and even like MC Light is a great lyricist, but as far as putting out a female agenda, I felt that Queen Latifah, although sometimes, you know, she's gangsta and sometimes she's can say some of the same stuff the guys say, you know, if there was anyone putting out a female or feminist agenda, it was Queen Latifah. So that's who I'd definitely say was someone who would be an inspiration. And as a matter of fact, speaking of, you know, this whole feminist hip-hop blogging, I really wish I could get something on the screen. There's a guy that I met, you know, through blogging, and we used to IM battle, you know. Keith Stalin, you know what Keith Stalin is?
No.
Freestyling is when rappers just throw raps off the top of their heads, right? So if you're Keith Stalin... Your key styling, right? So it's like, you know, he and I, he'd be like, okay, what beat are you listening to right now? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know, whatever. We'd listen to beats, and we'd go back and forth, and we'd do a lot of this battle rap style. As a matter of fact, I wrote for, dang, this is killing me. I should know.
While she's looking this up, I just want to see hands. Has anybody else ever done that? No. Doesn't it sound cool, though?
We just go and IM back and forth, and then I'd post them on my website. Oh, no. It's hard. It's like, let me see. Let me find one, and I'll give you an example of, well, it's in this article, actually. I wrote an article for a website called Dry Long So, and they had a special issue on... what was it? The web and people of color. And I wrote an article for them called Imagining a Gender Neutral Black Male Female Relationship.
Can you give us that URL?
Dry Long So, DryLongso.com. And there in their summer 2003 issue, I wrote this article, Imagining a Gender Neutral Black Male Female Relationship. And I talked about a lot of the social networking that goes online in the black community and how a lot of it is centered around, you know, sexual dynamics and sexuality. Whereas, you know, when I started meeting some bloggers, the bloggers, most of the bloggers I was dealing with and interacting with were men. I have very few female blog friends. Very few.
Here.
Yeah, I can name like one or two. The majority, and I guess it's because I'm talking about hip-hop, I don't know, but the majority of the people I interact with in the blogosphere are men. I have a big hip-hop male, and they're racially diverse, and then I have a black gay male interaction. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
So, and again, I guess I should say, I think also too, like the job that I have as a day job has a lot to do with some of the people that stick around and read me. I didn't mention where I worked, have I? No.
Yeah, what is your day job?
I am the general manager of online for Vibe Magazine and Spin Magazine. So what I do has a lot to do with, and it's something we were talking about in the room there. It's like, it has to do with, it gives me, so to speak, a credible voice. Whereas there might be some other feminist hip hop bloggers out there, but these guys are not tagging them or noticing them because they're not at Vibe or Spin. You know what I mean? I don't think that's right, you know, because other people have a lot to say. I wasn't looking to be like, and I'll get back to that in a second, but like I wasn't looking to be like what ended up being a lone voice in a discussion, the discussion that, you know, you picked up on that I'll get to.
Which was who? The discussion with who?
Oh my God. It was a discussion around lyrics and then it got into to other stuff and then I just got tired of feeling like I was the only one speaking because these guys kept saying, oh, we can't have feminist thoughts and I don't know what it is to say a feminist. How can I speak for a woman, you know, about Snoop's lyrics and how can I? And I wrote this post called Who's Gonna Take the Weight? But before that, I had written another post and, you know, because there was also all of this. I noticed I was talking to people who were a lot younger than I am. So they didn't know there was this groundwork of writing that had been done by bell hooks and Michelle Wallace. And they just didn't know that this writing had been done about misogynistic lyrics, you know. And what I did was just start, like, I was getting agitated and angry because no one was saying anything. And these guys were just, like, going back and forth. Well, it's not my place to say anything and whatever. You know, Snoop's cool with me, you know. And
so do you feel like that it was just a lack of...
I wasn't ready to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Do you feel like it was a lack of education then, not... that they wouldn't participate, just that they didn't have any...
Didn't have the tools. You're right. And then that was why, and I realized that, and that's why, you know, I went and I found Bell Hook's article, which is called...
Sorry, I didn't mean to lead you astray.
Okay. It's okay. I was going to tell you about Key Styling, but we can go back there. Look at this. I have to type my name and her name to find it.
Hey, at least you know how.
Okay. And Bell Hooks was, her piece was called, I just had it. Misogyny, Gangster Rap, and the Piano. And she wrote it for Z Magazine in February of 1994.
And how can they find it? How'd you find it?
I found it by looking up her name and my name, but her piece is out there elsewhere.
On Google.
Yeah, on Google. Sorry, on Google. This is education. Sorry. Yes, Google. Trusted and true search engine. but the article, you can find her article. It's out there. Other people have it. And the whole thing. So thing, you know, stuff was going on about the discussion about the videos, how women were being portrayed in the hip-hop videos. The types of clothes they were wearing, what they do, you know, and there's been a lot of discussion about that. I mean, even Essence Magazine has had a campaign called Take Back the Music. And I don't agree with all of it because some women, just like women who do erotic and exotic dancing, some of them choose it as a profession. This is what they wish to do. So who am I to say she shouldn't do that? But I do think there has to be responsibility on the women's part as well as these male rappers. There has to be some accountability and responsibility. But anyway, so this one thing that was going on, it was about Snoop Dogg and sexism in hip-hop. Because I think Snoop's last album was probably And it's funny because he and his wife got divorced after this last album. She stayed by his side like throughout his career, and after this last album, they are no more. But I think it was probably his, there was the most violence against women, the most sexism in his lyrics that I have ever heard. And so there were discussions about, you know, yeah, but you girls who are pointing the fingers, y'all are still dancing up in the club to that track, you know. And so this whole talk came out. And then, you know, there's a young, hot-minded guy who posts at a blog. It's called Hip Hop Blogs. He's very hot. And his name is Hassim. And he's like hot. He jumps on everything. He all the old voices, I don't know, I think he wants to do away with them. Like the Greg Tates of the world and the... And I don't know if you guys are familiar with who Greg Tate is, a long-standing Village Voice writer who has written about all kinds of music. He has a couple of books. And, you know, so this kid Hassim was like, where's the, you know, because at the time, some of the top editors of hip-hop magazines were women. And he was like, why isn't this person speaking? And why isn't this person speaking? And I'm like, why aren't you speaking? You know, you don't have to be a woman to speak out about. And he's pointing names and calling fingers. And I you know, so as part of education, this post that I made, the title of my post is Who's Gonna Take the Weight? I just, you know, I'm like, well, here's this woman posting about it. And, you know, she's a writer and she writes for many magazines. And, you know, I just...
Quick question. Sorry, I don't mean to just, like, butt in. Now I lost my thought. Oh, okay, we were talking about links a whole lot in the other room. Mm-hmm. Did you link to these articles, and do you show these voices?
Yep, so and that's something I always do. Like, if I pick up on conversations from other people, so in this post, Who's Going to Take the Weight, which is, you know, I get a lot of spam on that post, which I don't get anymore because I use spam lookup. If you use movable type, please install spam lookup. It will stop this spamming, okay? But this particular post, because a lot of people linked to this Who's Going to Take the Weight. I get spam there, like, constantly. But because I don't close comments ever. But so I linked to Hassim, and then I linked to Julianne Shepherd, who is a writer. She writes about rock and music. And then... you know, I go on to say, you know, come on, people have been talking about this. What are you talking about? Joan Morgan wrote a whole book, When Chickenheads Come Home to Roost. And it's a book about being a feminist, hip-hop loving person, you know. And then, you know, there's a woman, a professor, Gwendolyn DePoe, who just put out a book, Check It While I Wreck It. She put out a book about 2 years ago now, I think it is. And is getting ready to head up a feminist hip-hop anthology, a feminist hip-hop reader. Which the deadline for is today, which I didn't make, by the way. But anyway, so, you know, just needless to say, it's out there. The voices are out there. So then, you know, I list these articles. When Black Feminism Faces the Music and the Music is Rap by Michelle Wallace. It was in the New York Times in 1990. So, I mean, there's a history of women speaking back about this. Imani Perry wrote in a book, It's My Thing and I'll Swing It the Way I Feel. But the biggest one I posted was Misogyny, Gangsta Rap, and the Piano by Bell Hooks. And that when people saw that, because then I learned who had never seen this writing before. Like, because people started, oh my God, look at Lynn's post. Oh my God, did you see Lynn's post? You know, and it was these guys who, some of these are out here in the Bay Area. Oliver Wang, he writes for the San Fran Bay Guardian.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm not familiar with that.
You're not familiar with the post that... Oh, it's the post I'm telling you about right now. It's the one I was just going through, linking to all these people talking about Snoop Dogg's sexism, and then discussing what Joan Morgan's book is about, discussing what Gwendolyn Poe's book is about, and then telling you who are all these women who have written articles over time, you know? And then I just put in the whole Bell Hooks article.
So it was the Bell Hooks article. So that's the homework. I need to do that. Okay.
The Bell Hooks article is the homework. It's like It's the foundation here. It's, and I think a lot of people got educated after they read the Bell Hooks article on misogyny. And she likened, how did she do? She did some sort of analogy with the movie The Piano that was out at the time with the misogyny and gangster rap, and which made it really interesting.
How many of you in the room have read that article? Just wondering.
The Bell Hooks, misogyny.
Only one. We have a lot of homework.
Okay. So, you know, and that post just set off more discussions. And then as some events started happening, like in New York, there was a Essence Take Back the Music, Feminism and Hip Hop conference. They're out in Chicago. There was a big conference on feminism and hip hop.
We have a question in the audience. Can I come?
The incident with Nelly and his music video and the kind of protests at Spelman College.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Nelly had a video and very, very misogynistic. And one of the most offensive scenes in it was swiping a credit card through a woman's rear end. And so some women at Spelman College, which is a historically black college for women in Atlanta, he was supposed to speak. And this has been sort of the tension, which was he was promoting his charitable organization, which was in support of his sister. So I don't know. I think to some degree his defense was it's just entertainment and I'm, you know, here promoting a charitable organization. I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to help women. But some women and some men joined them as well, protested his appearance, and he ended up not appearing. And I think that was, for me, that was kind of like the issue that brought it to my consciousness of, you know, really speaking out and bringing a voice to it and discussing these issues.
And that's what happened. Videos like this, and videos that, for those of you who aren't aware, on BET, which is the Black Entertainment Television Network, at about 2 a.m., there is a show called BET Uncut. And on BET Uncut, they play videos that they can't play during regular hours. And this is where you would have seen this Nelly video. Likewise, there's a 50 Cent video for a song called Disco Inferno, where 50 Cent is basically, he's in the middle of a strip club, and there's just women all over him, all, you know. And so, in this channel, so there was a lot of speaking up against this show as well, this BET Uncut show. And just the fact that these rappers were getting away with making soft porn.
I have a question. So with your day job, do you get direct interaction with the artists?
Do I? Not so much anymore, because my day job now, I'm a general manager, so I'm not as much a writer, you know, full-time. But I have over the years, I mean.
And how do they react to you?
I don't think anyone's mad at me, you know, because that's another thing. Like, lately on my blog, I don't really write that much on the blog. I just comment on things, and I'll show people things, like, that other people are talking about. Like, lately, a lot of people have been saying that Ashanti made a sex tape because Eve made a sex tape, whatever. And I'm like, hey, I don't think she made a sex tape, but if you want to see it, go look, you judge, you talk about it, let's talk about it, let's discuss. You know what I mean? It's not her, as far as I'm concerned. But then, and then some people have a problem with, then there are women who have a problem with that. I linked to what is supposed to be, but I'm clearly saying, I do not believe this is her, but people are sending around this link saying it's her, and I wish they would stop lying, you know? So, likewise, and it got people talking about it, you know? And likewise, you know, I've talked about 50 Cent, like, endlessly. Like, I mean, I just...
And have any of his people attacked your...
I have a photo of he and me together, so no, he's not attacking me.
So you guys get together or no? Do you talk about any of this when you are together?
No, nothing like that. I mean, for these rappers, you have to understand, too, this is still bad publicity, is still publicity. You know what I'm saying? It's still going to drive record sales. So sometimes I'd rather not speak, you know, at all. And then And then that's when someone like this kid Haseem will come and say, well, Lynn, why didn't you say something about that? You know,
social responsibility.
Yeah. But sometimes I don't speak because I do realize, being in the media profession, I realize that even bad publicity is publicity. And it's still going to have people pay attention to these artists that you don't want them to pay attention to. You know, sometimes when you're critiquing them, then people want to know what they're about. And people start buying their music or whatever, downloading it or peer-to-peer stealing it, whatever. You know, so... I mean, and that's kind of, I guess, again, like, I did not come out to be a hip-hop feminist blogger, whatever. It kind of just happened. It kind of unraveled as I was seeing all of these discussions going on various websites about Nelly, about Snoop Dogg, about 50 Cent, and just feeling frustrated that, you know, there was this lack of knowledge or education, and... You know, not like I feel I know everything, but having also been a sociology professor, a journalist, whatever, I had some information and resources that some of the other people blogging did not have. And I felt it was my responsibility to share it. And so I did, and then I became the hip-hop feminist blogger. As a matter of fact, in the magazine, like I work for Vibe and Spin, somebody wrote a little... thing on blogging, and they said my blog is beats, rhymes, and feminism. So, and again, like I didn't look for that. I didn't ask for it. I'm not going to people saying, hey, link to me. I'm this. I'm doing this. I'm just writing and saying what I think is right. You know?
Question. I really want to focus on the conversation for everyone in the room. I think that's important. So I don't really care who I am. I care, but I think here, and it goes to the identity here. Is like, am I identity right now as someone being interviewed, or am I in the identity trying to have a conversation with you? And it's actually really challenging. So I realize when you put the microphone there that I feel a little uncomfortable. Being.
So would you rather not be?
No, but I think it goes right to the point is we're forced into an identity that we may not have chosen or that was imposed upon us in the minute. And I'm finding with blogs, because they go so far out, they all of a sudden put us in a role that we hadn't expected, we hadn't anticipated. So as I sit here with a microphone, I hadn't expected, I hadn't anticipated. So, you know, when you think of this kind of at a meta level beyond just your blog, what are the impacts of these kind of identities that are being, we create by what we put out, but what the world sees them becomes... like this upon us.
Well, you're absolutely right. Like I said, hip-hop is not the only thing I talk about. I talk about technology. I talk about art. I talk about a lot of things.
But for instance, there's a fellow I know from Jamaica who's, you know, very, you know, web popular out there. I wouldn't say by blogging, but by other things that he does. And, you know, every now and then he IMs me and he's like, what's up, Miss Hip-Hop? You know, and it just really, it like eats me up because I'm not Miss Hip Hop. You know, I mean, I don't mind representing, you know, to a certain degree, but it's like, that's not all I am, you know? And so in a way, yes, I can say that sometimes I do feel boxed in by that, or that the people who come, because I've heard too, oh, she's not talking about hip hop anymore, I'm not interested, or whatever. Some people who used to, you know, visit me, I'm like, well, I'm still writing, though, you know, like, why can't you still be interested, you know? But I've heard that.
Oh, did you ever intentionally shift what you're writing about in order to, like, respond to that
hip hop accusation? I think I have on occasion. As a matter of fact, I had taken a hiatus about a month ago, but it didn't last long. Because I started seeing things I needed to talk about, you know, and but I took hiatus. Part of that was that, because it was like, because all of a sudden it was like, uh-oh, I've got myself going to do a hip-hop feminist discussion. And then now the magazine that I work for is calling me a hip-hop feminist blogger. Uh-oh. And I just shut down. Like, I completely shut down for about, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks. But that, you know, in web time, that's a lot of time to shut down for, you know? And it just, because sometimes, yeah, you can feel overwhelmed by that. Because then there's like this responsibility. Like I'm saying, like, if things come up, people are expecting, oh, Lynn, you didn't go to that event? Or, oh, Lynn, you're not writing about that event? Or, You were going to say something, I think?
No, I saw something. Two quick questions. Have you ever been labeled as an angry blogger? I find, like, when I'm running my own blog and I'm putting up my stuff, is that I've gotten some comments back of saying, you're so angry, you should go to church. You know, and it's like people really don't like the fact that if you're writing something that's opinionated. And I don't know whether that's coming as a woman or as a woman of color or whatnot. That was my first question. The second question is, Vibe magazine, I think the last month, had a really good article with the Ying Yang twins. And it, to me, it really showed about why they make their music, because it's so misogynist. But on the other hand, these guys are businessmen. And they totally admitted in this article that, hey, I mean, we know what we're doing is in some ways morally wrong, but we need to make money, and so this is why we're doing it. And is that an acceptable answer, do you think, or not?
It's a tricky answer. I mean, 50 Cent does the same thing. And again, I'm sorry with my 50 Cent thing here, but I don't know. 50 Cent, as a matter of fact, he has a song, Candy Shop. And, you know, his penis, the analogy, is a lollipop. And what he said is, you know, the women will love this, and so will the kids, because the kids will really think I'm talking about candy and lollipops. And this is what he said. And it's like, what? What are you saying? Like, you know, and it's like, so, you know, but he's clever enough to know he can market this music to teens and tweens by masking it. But it's still a sexual song, you know what I mean? And it's not an acceptable answer, but it's like, this was one of my other problems, and that I've posted about a lot. I hate hip-hop being the scapegoat for sexism. Like, hip-hop did not create sexism. And I mean, hip-hop was something that was born out of many of America's ills to begin with anyway. So that's something I do get angry and charged about. It's like, stop pointing the finger at hip-hop, because these guys didn't learn. They learned it by the books they read, the movies they view. That, you know, it's not just hip-hop. It's a bigger problem. It's part of what we're here for today, you know? Like, even you talk about in the tech industry. I used to work for a tech magazine called Digital New York, and we had a sister publication called Digital Chicago. And, you know, I would go to these events, and even I've been on technology panels, and there are no women there. And so when you come back to hip-hop, it's like, right now, I also feel there's a disappearance of female rappers. Like, a lot of women rappers are not getting their projects out there. And Foxy Brown's project has been on hold for, like, 3-4 years, her next project. And as a matter of fact, why it's going to be released again is because she's back under Jay-Z, and Jay-Z's going to craft this project. She's not crafting it. It's not going to be in her own voice. And I forgot the original question, but is it a answer? No, it's not, you know? And about me being angry, I don't get that as much as I have had a few comments about saying, what are you going on about? Like, people thinking that what I'm saying is not important, I guess. And they post anonymously. They never reveal who they really are. It'll just be like something like, what does this mean? Or what are you going on about? You know, just a little one-liner. And I delete them. You know, there's been one or two I let stay to see if other people are going to respond to them. Because that's another thing, too. I try to stay out of my comments and let the other people have a conversation. I've said what I had to say already, you know.
The culture around it, like what role you can actually play in shifting some of the cultural values and the cultural perceptions, or if it's just a matter of reflecting the hip-hop culture, like what is your relationship as an active participant in it?
Okay. I think definitely something that's happening, again, like I said, a lot of my blog relationships are with males, and a lot of them are young males, and they're up and coming. Those who were writing about hip-hop as male bloggers, a lot of them I'm finding, they were doing it because they do want to become journalists. And then a lot of them, you know, like I had mentioned this guy, Hasim, again. Like, Hasim has respect for me. And he comes to me and asks me questions before he writes certain things. So I think that, you know, in that way, I'm playing a role by helping shape, because it's guys reading me mostly. Like, and if the women are there, and I've said this before too, women, if you're here, please speak. Because it's always the men talking to me, so that's who I end up having relationships with. But, I've said it on my blog quite a few times. Women, if you're here, please say something. Like, and people will tell me, I linked to you, I saw it, but, you know.
She says she reads her blog to understand her sons.
I would probably state there because it would embarrass my sons. You know, they listen to music that I need to understand better. I come from a place that doesn't understand it. The misogynistic part of it freaks me out, and I'm always trying to talk to them about respecting women when I hear this music. And I realize it's because I don't understand also the culture around it. So I think there's people who also come to you out of unknowingness, and they don't know how to enter the conversation.
Rap has come, as an industry, as a music industry, rap has come to mirror the mob, the pimp life, the gangster and the mob, the pimp life. And that these are all places where the sexism and misogyny comes from. And that's what they're doing in their lyrics and their lifestyles. I mean, you have people who call themselves the Gambino family, the Gottis, Murder, Inc. I mean, you know, Puffy just put out a new song, The Godfather's Back. I mean, you know, it's like, and so they're trying to imitate and emulate these cultures. And so it just becomes muddled. Like, even when there is a message there in the music, sometimes you can't hear it, you know?
I think another interesting issue is that, in addition to the... You know, for me, it's like my niece saw the Nelly video. She knows, you know, her 8-year-old sister was like thinking that she has to be this image that she sees in the videos and that she hears in the lyrics. And that's really scary to me. But on the other side, not just for girls, but for boys, they're getting the message of they should be a gangster. They should be engaged in violence. They should be very focused on getting money at any means, by any means necessary. And just wondering, you know, if you know if anyone's having that conversation as well and talking about that. Yeah.
That was something that didn't get picked up that one time I did mention. It was like, we're talking about girls all the time. What about the little boys? You know, I haven't seen the conversation. I haven't seen articles. Maybe now, you know, I think I should. you know, because it is something I've definitely thought about, and I think, but I haven't seen it out there. I haven't seen it, and it is something that worries me. I mean, I was walking down the street the other day. You brought up this Whisper song, and there's this part in there, and they go, what do they say? Gotta get you, something they say, whatever. My friend and I were walking down the street, and this boy must have been 10. And he said this, like, it's a thing, it's like a cat call, a sexual cat call, whatever it was. And he said it. He was like 10 or 12. I mean, it's like, and we're grown women walking down the street, and I was just like, oh my God, like, this is the effect that, you know, the music has. And it's, but see, another thing, this is one thing I have argued on my blog. Parents cannot look to BET, MTV, the radio to raise their children. Parents have to be active participants. And something I mentioned once too, like when I was growing up, my parents took me to see Superfly and Shaft and all these movies. But my parents went with me to explain it to me. And like you said, you come to my blog to understand, so maybe you can understand what's going on. A lot of parents, black and white, Latino, whomever, they... older than 40, a lot of people just, that hip-hop, they're not trying to hear it or understand it at all. So they're not communicating with their kids about it, and the kids are just listening to it in an empty vacuum without someone ushering them, you know? So if any role, like you asked me, that I can play, because I do notice, too, that I have a lot of younger readers, if any role that I can play, I hope that would be it, some sort of education. God, I didn't want to talk so much about me. but, you know, so, I mean, if there's anything such as feminist hip-hop blogging, I don't even know if it's like feminist hip-hop blogging. I'm just like, I'm a humanist. You know what I mean? But I have a 15-year-old niece, you know, and I listen to the music because I want to know. Because, again, that Whisper song. I was like, do you know the real lyrics of that? And she sang it in my ear, you know. And it's like, and my sister, you know, her mother said to her, I would have never done that to my aunt. I would have never sang that to my aunt's ear, you know. But that's another weird thing about my niece and my relationship. But I'd rather she come sing it in my ear than be out on the street singing it, you know. That she's singing it to me so I can say, do you know what that means? You know, I'm happy that I have that kind of relationship with her, that she felt comfortable, you know. But I think what I was trying to say about being a feminist, being hip, I'm you know, a humanist. And I want to see what's right and just in the world, you know. And I mean, I don't think, you know, just like I don't think rap music should be banned, I do think, especially some of these people like, say like a Jay-Z or a Puffy. I mean, these people are rich now. They're not living in the streets. They're not poor. They're not shooting people up. I mean, they have people shooting people for them, some of them. But they're not actually doing it. So the fact that they're still singing these kinds of songs, it's like, come on, you're grown now, too. You're even like, all of them are over 35, I believe. It's like, talk about what's really your life, but they won't, because then the industry won't push them. They won't have the marketing muscle behind them. So then it comes down to what is the music industry? I mean, forget hip hop. I mean, have you seen Jessica Simpson's video for the Dukes of Hazzard song? I mean, that what she's doing at the end is totally unnecessary. Like, you know, she's washing the car in the bathing suit. Why do we have that? Why? You know, it's our culture.
I guess I just have two comments. I guess my first is that now that you've mentioned it, I'm really excited to see what Jay-Z is doing when he's as old as Mick Jagger. Like, it would just, like, I hope you're still around so that I don't have to go look for that myself, because you can be like, look what he's doing, it's stupid. Like, and then my other question is, I came in late, so I wanted to know, on your blog, do you also promote and push, like, hip-hop artists that you think are doing liberatory and, like, nice kind of work, or is it more of just a critical reflection on what the mass market is producing?
As a matter of fact, someone laughed at me the other day, because as a matter of fact, I have to leave like right away to get back to New York. I'm going to see Dave Matthews Band and Black Eyed Peas. Mm-hmm. And someone laughed at me for liking Black Eyed Peas. Like, they were like, I thought you liked, like, you know, Tupac, Jay-Z, whatever, you know. And I'm like, Black Eyed Peas are dope, okay? They're awesome. They're like, you know, I mean, they're danceable, they're fun. Sometimes they're also very positive. They have political messages, love messages, you know, but that's, and they're one that's mainstream. But there are a lot of underground, there are a lot of underground folks like this who don't get pushed to the fore, you know, and.
Question, where is a source that we can get that kind of music?
The underground stuff? Let me think of a website. I think like a website community that promotes a lot of, I think, positive rappers and whatnot, who are mainstream also, is okplayer.com, which is kind of, they focus around a lot of neo-soul artists and rappers like Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Common. They just did Jean Grey's new website, and she has an independent album out now this time, because the label she's been working with do not treat her right, and she wants to get, Jean Grey will admit, I want to get paid, but at the same time, the stuff that Jean Grey talks about, she's not going to get paid, and Jean Grey is not going to go put on, you know, the mini skirt or change her body and change, you know, like a Little Kim or someone. She's not going to do it. So she's not going to get pushed out there the same way that they do.
Question was, can blogs change that?
Yes. Again, like you asked me, do I put out independent? When I hear good music, because that's what I do now. I link to a lot of media now because I don't have time to write, you know, a lot anymore. So I think people putting up good music, this is what I thought the web in general was going to change music discovery. In a way it has, in a way iTunes, whatever, where you can discover more artists, but still sometimes I see the mainstream getting pushed to the fore more than that underground stuff. I thought like when MP3.com was really popular, it did have a lot of this underground stuff. And then when, you know, Live 365 could do radio shows and people weren't getting charged, you know, you had some of this music out there. And that's what I thought the web would be, like this breaking ground for all of these positive artists. And it hasn't, the mainstream has stepped in and kind of taken over, you know. But that's not to be dissuaded. Like,
what's the Blogger 100 for underground music? Asking for information.
There are a couple of MP3 blogs. Oliver Wang, who I mentioned before, he does an MP3 blog, and it's called. What is his MP3 blog? No, that's his other. His MP3 blog is, I wonder if it's all going to be music. Is that it? Yes. Soul hyphen or minus sign, whatever you call it, sides.com. Now, he puts up some popular stuff too, but a lot of times he finds stuff that he's like a crate digger, you know? Crate digger, you know, digging for records. So he digitizes a lot of stuff that he finds. Who is another one? Someone who talks about some of this kind of music a lot is a website called hiphopmusic.com. A gentleman who has a radio show on WBAI in New York, which is a NPR station. His name is Jay, and Jay a lot of times even posts interviews that he has with a lot of these other types of artists that are alternative. What else? Yeah. Did I finish answering you, though? I can't remember. That was, yeah. I mean, Jean Grey, I mean, I wish she could become mainstream, you know? I really do. Jean Grey. Yeah. Right. Right. Because that's one thing. Jean Grey did respond to Nelly, didn't she? Or not Nelly. She responded to someone. I'm trying to remember. She did a response song to some. Oh, she did a response to 50. That's what it was. She did a response to 50. Which you don't see much of anymore either. Women rappers responding to male rappers. It used to happen in the 80s. Then it stopped. I don't know why, but I'd love to see more of that too. Female rappers responding to some of these male rappers. But again, there's like I said, there's a disappearance of female rappers. Like Missy Elliott is like the female rapper right now. What is she saying? Look at me, don't I look like a Halle Berry poster? I mean, what is Missy saying? Like, and when she's not even saying that, yimmy yimmy ya yimmy ya. What is she saying? What is Missy saying? Does Missy take a stance in any kind of way? The music is creative, yes, but does Missy ever really take a stance? Missy makes fun music, you know, that's kind of like a throwback to the 80s, but she's never really saying anything, and she's like the main female rapper right now. There's no one else.
Quick question. Can you tell us what's in your MP3 player?
You don't want to know.
Tell us some good stuff. No, really.
The good stuff, because the bad stuff, you don't want
to
know.
Well, it's good to know both sides.
Let me see, because I've got some bad stuff in here. Because I have to listen to it, you know. I'm opening the wrong thing here. Let me see.
Do you still play Marvin Gaye?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I posted a random list of music the other day. Let me find it. That'll be even better. And I'll just tell you what was on that random, if I can find it. It's so dark. I think it was June. Give me a second. Sorry. No, it was July. It was after the hiatus.
for getting music sources.
Yeah. There it is. See, and this is really bad. This is terrible. This was a random play in my iTunes on July 6th. R. Kelly, a song called Ladies' Night. Sorry.
Tell it.
Faith Evans, I Don't Need It. Elephant Man, who's a reggae artist, Conscience Free. Slum Village, who's a group who I wish would get pushed to the fore more. But then it's funny, when they almost became mainstream, they did a sexist kind of love song with Kanye West. The video was kind of sexist, you know? It's on T.I. featuring Daz, My Life, another reggae thing, this woman named Sasha. Wu-Tang Clan, Shame on a Nigga. Miles Davis, Seven Steps to Heaven. Lenny Kravitz, What Did I Do With My Life? And Ty Tribbett with the No Way GH chant. That's a gospel group that does like a kind of like, that particular song is kind of hip-hop gospel, like Ty Tribbett. T-R-I-B-B-E-T-T. So, yeah, but you heard Miles Davis in there, right? Okay. But no, I mean, I listen to all kinds of music. I mean, I listen to alternative. Like, I like Franz Ferdinand. I like Block Party. I like, again, like I said, I came from a hip-hop. And at that time, when I came from a hip-hop era, like, a lot of rapping was done over rock breaks anyway. So I had to know, you know, who Talking Heads were, who Rolling Stones were, who whatever. You know, you had to know. And I've previously been a DJ as well, so you have to know. Like, it's like, but that's where I see a difference now. Like, I see kids talking about music being black music and white music, and I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, what do you mean black music, white music? There's good music and there's bad music, you know?
Can I ask about two of my favorites?
Yes.
Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu.
Yeah, they're Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu. If Lauryn Hill came back, although she's totally crazy now, she's supposed to. If she came back, there might be something positive. But the reason I say totally crazy, and I shouldn't say this, Lauryn has just gotten really religious to a, like, very weird degree. As a matter of fact, about a year ago, she was at the Vatican, and which I applaud her for doing this, but at the time she did it, it was really weird. Like, she said, you priests need to stop touching them little boys, while she was doing a performance at the Vatican. And I feel she could have addressed that issue, but just like, you know, it's just, but that's, I mean, and recently I was at a show that she did a poem, and the poem she was saying, queer guys run the nation, and it's all queer businessmen something, and chant down Babylon, and you know, it was just like all this hodgepodge. Like, it seems like she has this hodgepodge of religions, and she's been through a lot of torture. Because that's the thing, too. She says, like, being in the Fugees was a very bad experience for her because she felt controlled by other people. And what she's talking about is she was in a group with two men. So that's...
And what's your source for this, if I can ask? Because I...
Where she said this...
Or just in general, how to get information on hip-hop artists, because I love these two artists, and I don't know what they're doing since the last albums that I have, okay. So I have old music.
I posted about Lauryn the other day because I found out that the Fader magazine did a cover story with her. She also recently performed with the Fugees on the BET Awards, and likewise at an event my company had, Vibe had, in Atlanta, the Music Fest, Lauryn performed herself. So, and I saw her be crazy. So, and I shouldn't say crazy. I should not say that because I love Lauryn Hill to death. But just what some people might say inappropriate at the time, you know, but she's saying some things that need to be said. Just it's when and how, you know? By myself without my cohorts.
Thank you.
The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.